So we are going to be doing Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 8. We're doing verses 59 to 60, but I believe we're going to recite verse 60. So verse 60, Ramananda Rai continued, "My dear son of Kunti, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, and whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." I should have started with verse 59, really. So verse 59, "So the Lord replied, 'This is external. You had better tell me of some other means.' Ramananda replied, 'To offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the essence of all perfection.'" He continues, Ramananda Rai continued, "My dear son of Kunti, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, and whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. "The Lord has said that the Varnashram Dharma is not properly executed in this age of Kali. Therefore, He ordered Ramananda Rai to go further into the matter." Ramananda Rai replied with this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 27, which instructs that while remaining in the system of Varnashram Dharma, one may offer the results of his activities to Lord Sri Krishna in loving service. Naturally, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Rai about the execution of devotional service. Ramananda Rai first enunciated the principle of Varnashram Dharma in consideration of materialistic people. However, this conception is not transcendental. As long as one is in the material world, he must follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma. But devotional service is transcendental. The system of Varnashram Dharma refers to the three modes of material nature. But transcendental devotional service is on the absolute platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belongs to the spiritual world, and his methods for propagating the Sankirtan movement are also imported from the spiritual world. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, "Golakir Premdhan Harinam Sankirtan Ratina Janmila Kenetai." This states that the Sankirtan movement has nothing to do with this material world. It is imported from the spiritual world. Goloka Vrindavan. Narottam Das Thakur laments that mundane people do not take this Sankirtan movement seriously. Considering the position of devotional service and the Sankirtan movement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deemed the system of Varnashram Dharma to be material, although it aims at elevation to the spiritual platform. However, the Sankirtan movement can raise one immediately to the spiritual platform. Consequently, it is said that Varnashram Dharma is external, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Rai to proceed deeper into the matter and uncover the spiritual platform. Sometimes materialists consider Lord Vishnu a material conception. Impersonalists think that above Lord Vishnu is the impersonal Brahman. The impersonalists misunderstand the worship of Lord Vishnu. They worship Lord Vishnu to merge into his body. In order that Vishnu Aradhana not be misunderstood, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested that Sri Ramananda Rai proceed further and clear up the issue. Ramananda Rai quoted the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, stating that the results of one's occupational duty may be offered to Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, 8, it is also said, Dharma svanustita pumsam vishvakshena katashtuya notpayayed yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. If one executes the occupational duties of Varnashram Dharma, but does not cultivate his dormant Krishna consciousness, his activities are futile. His occupation simply becomes unnecessary labor. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru
Shriyata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padhan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Paramami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadigaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you for being here. With your permission, I'll share a few things from this verse and also to mark today's auspicious occasion of the disappearance of Srila Ishwarapuri, who is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya himself. So I'll just repeat the verses. This is text 59. The Lord replied, "This is external. You had better tell me of some other means." Ramananda replied, "To offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the essence of all perfection." Ramananda Rai continued, "My dear son of Kunti, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, and whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Has anybody here studied the whole conversation between Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya? I've read the whole conversation. Yeah, a few people have, a few devotees. Do you feel like it has a striking resemblance to like a recap of the Bhagavad Gita and then proceeding to something deeper? It's interesting, I was reading Shigora Ganodesh Dipika, which is Kavikarna Purna's really detailed commentary on an explanation of who all the personalities in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are in Vrindavan. And Ramananda Rai is actually Arjun. He's also Arjun Gopa, Krishna's friend Arjun, and he's also a Lalita Gopi. So it's interesting that Krishna chooses him again to come and have this conversation with this very in-depth conversation where he goes, just like in Bhagavad Gita, we have the yoga ladder, right? We go from karmakanda offering or living our life in such a way that we get good karma and then we develop karma yoga, then jnana yoga, stanga yoga, and ultimately bhakti yoga. So it's as if Krishna is continuing this conversation with that very same Arjun as Ramananda Rai. They have a recap. Lord Chaitanya is like, yeah, but tell me more, tell me more. And you'll hear this a lot as the conversation progresses, tell me more. He wants Ramananda Rai to get to the peak of pure devotional service, which is conjugal love. Now, in this purport to verse 60, Srila Prabhupada really delineates for us the difference between those things that are necessary for spiritual life versus those things that are important. So varnashram, working according to our nature, serving according to our nature, ashram, our stage of life, all of these things are there to protect us. They're there to help us progress in spiritual life. And they are important. But what Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing in his purport is that they're not necessary. Now, just because something's not necessary doesn't mean we neglect it. So Srila Prabhupada is very careful with this. He's not saying that we do away with it. He's saying just understand it in context. So it's important. What's necessary, however, is this Golokir Prem Dan. Dan means charity, actually. We've done nothing to be qualified for this Golokir Prem Dan, Golokir from Goloka, directly from Goloka Vrindavan. Prem Dan, a gift, the charity of love, is born of love, the holy names. Okay, we've done nothing. When do you give charity? You give charity when somebody's not, they've not done anything to deserve it, right? So you give charity. You give freely. You give out of love. And so Srila Prabhupada's explaining to us that this gift of the holy name, it's imported, donated, transported, gifted to us from the spiritual world. So it's not of this world. So actually, it can be anything and everything. There's nothing that can stop the holy names and the effects of the holy names. And what is the primary effect of the holy name? It's to reawaken that unconditional love we have for Krishna. Just like we talk about how, you know, one of the reasons Varna and Ashram is important is because often our background music in our mind, you know, our background score. You watch a movie without music. Actually, they've done experiments on this where they'll show you a scene from a movie without music. And 50% of people will perceive it a particular way and another 50% will perceive it in a completely different way. Then they add music. And depending on what type of music they put in the background, people will perceive that scene differently. Someone might be frightened. Someone might romanticize it. So with our minds, with our egos, we have a background score of our varna. We have our ashram, right? They contextualize things for us. But the background score, the thread of our heart, is this Golokir Premdan, the holy names. This process that's come directly from the spiritual world. So Srila Prabhupada is really emphasizing to us that, yes, there's a reason Lord Chaitanya is saying, tell me more, give me more, say more, let's go deeper. Because yes, it's important. It's important, yes. Whatever you have in this world, offer it to Krishna. Transform it. This is what Maya Devi is waiting for, right? If you look at Maya, illusion, she is the personification, actually, of the purest servant of Krishna. She's another side, another face. Think about it. Krishna's eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, she loves him completely. She is the epitome. She is the peak of transcendental loving devotional service. So she's protective. She's not just going to let any old rubbish in. So she has her Mahamaya face and her Yogamaya face. So when she comes to us as Mahamaya in these different challenges, she's actually waiting to be transformed. She's waiting to be transformed into Yogamaya again. So these things are important. Understand this purpose and yes, offer everything to Krishna. Transform everything in Krishna's service. But don't forget this Golokir Prem Dan, this holy name. Because actually, this Golokir Prem Dan, this holy name, transcends everything else. And not just transcends everything else, but if you don't make use of Golokir Prem Dan, don't engage with Golokir Prem Dan, whether it's the holy names or the other process of devotional service, then everything else you do, your occupation, is just work. How many times in our spiritual life have we neglected our this imported, in a proper, in Srimad Bhagavatam, when he speaks about this verse from Srila Narottam Das Thakur of Golokir Prem Dan, he talks about how it's like turning on a radio and tuning into the right wavelength. So if we don't tune into that wavelength, then all our other activities are not saturated with the right mood, with the right mindset. And many of us, we've had this experience where we will neglect our sadhana for service. Right? Because why? Service gives you some immediate result. Right? Whereas sadhana doesn't always give you an immediate result. So Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing and getting us to really explain why? Hang on a minute. I've just read Bhagavad Gita. I've read Bhagavatam. I'm working so hard to offer everything I have to Krishna. And here's Lord Chaitanya saying, yeah, this is just external. Tell me more. Oh, have I been doing it all wrong? Prabhupada's giving us the secret. He's saying, no, you're not doing it all wrong. Just don't forget this chanting. It's so important. This brings me to the importance of the spiritual master. You know, if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada, how would we know what's important and what's necessary? if it wasn't for our various gurus, Shiksha gurus, Diksha gurus, the gurus who bring us to Krishna consciousness, how would we know what's important and what's necessary? Okay? So guru is extremely important. And so on this auspicious occasion of the disappearance of Srila Ishwarapuri, I want to highlight that it's so important. With the same Ramananda Rai as Arjun, Krishna introduces this concept as necessary in the Bhagavad Gita in the fourth chapter. What does he tell Arjun when Arjun's asking, what do I do next? If I want to pursue this path, what do I do next? He says, just approach a bona fide spiritual master, inquire submissively, and render service. They can give you this knowledge because they've seen the truth. They've seen the truth. So the spiritual master is essential, so essential that Lord Chaitanya himself accepts a spiritual master by the name of Srila Ishwarapuri. Now, you know, we hear about Guru Tattva, we hear about the importance of guru-disciple relationship, we hear the importance of connecting with the parampara so that we're getting the knowledge in an unbroken chain of disciplic succession. But there is such depth to this Guru Tattva. There's such depth to the beginnings and the essence of Guru Tattva. And it starts with Krishna and Balaram, actually. The all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he is in the mood of accepting service, every kind of service of every mellow, he's Krishna. And he is the color of a monsoon cloud, bluish black. When the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, all attractive, is in the mood of offering service of all mellows, he is the color of a fresh spring cloud, pure white. Prabhupada explains this. Actually, Krishna and Balaram, they are identical. The only difference is their color and their mood. One is accepting service of all mellows, and the other is offering service of all mellows. So you would have heard on Lord Nityananda's appearance, it was just 10 days ago, that, you know, Lord Balaram has this unique position of being able to offer service in all mellows, in neutrality, in Shantaras. Shraddha Gokul Nandaji Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Ki Jai, Gornitai Ki Jai. So in Shantaras, he is all of Krishna's paraphernalia. He is time and space. When Krishna wants things brought closer, Balaram facilitates it. When he wants them moved away, Balaram facilitates it. The closest thing to Krishna's lips, his flute, that's Balaram. He serves Krishna as his brother. He has the mood of Dasyam, gets him whatever he needs. He also has the mood of Sakyam. He's his friend. They play together. He also gets to serve him in Vatsalya as his older brother. Right? He looks after him. He looks out for him. He's protective of him. And he expands as Ananga Manjari to serve him in conjugal ras. Ananga Manjari is the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. Now, when Krishna is overwhelmed with the hankering to experience the peak of loving devotional service, he sees Radharani, he sees the gopis, he sees, my gosh, Radharani feels more pleasure than I do in receiving this service, in when she gives this service. I want to know what that tastes like. And so he comes as Lord Chaitanya in this golden hue of Srimati Radharani's mood of offering pure conjugal mellow. Now, Balaram, he comes in every yuga with Krishna, right? Every avatar, he's with Krishna. And yet, in every single manifestation, he knows who Krishna is, but he has to zip it. He can't say anything. He never reveals who Krishna is. Can you imagine that? That you've tasted the fruit of service from every single angle. You know who your brother is. You know who this personality who you serve all the time and feel ecstatic love for is. And yet you can't tell anyone about it. Can you imagine how overwhelming that must be? And so he comes as Lord Nityananda. Because Lord Nityananda, Avadhut, he has no barriers, no boundaries with who he preaches to about who Lord Chaitanya is, what the holy names are, and he opens and breaks open that storehouse of love of Godhead. because he's overwhelmed. He's been bottling it up for so many different incarnations. And so that's why we get this mood with Lord Nityananda of Avadhut. You know, there's no consideration. Anybody, everyone, no one, whoever wants it, just take it freely. So this Guru Tattva is born of this mood. No boundaries, no limits, no considerations, no discrimination. It's completely saturated with make Krishna available to anyone and everyone. This is the pulse of Guru Tattva. This is what Srila Prabhupada has allowed us all to connect with. This pulse of unconditional love propagated to everybody and anybody with no boundaries and no limits and no discrimination. And Lord Nityananda would be ecstatic. That ecstasy is there to be had when we connect with Guru Tattva completely and unconditionally. Lord Nityananda, Srila Ishwarapuri and Advaita Acharya shared the same spiritual master, Srila Madhavendra Puri. Srila Madhavendra Puri, according to Sri Kavi Karanapurna, in Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, explains that Madhavendra Puri is a Kalpavriksha tree from Vrindavan who bears the fruit of the mellows of loving devotional service, the different rasas. And this is explained in the Adilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that sap, or the sapling that grows from the seeds, is Srila Ishwara Puri. And then this sapling grows into a whole tree. And a huge tree of love of Godhead, fully manifest in Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya takes initiation from Srila Ishwarapuri. Before we get into the relationship between Lord Chaitanya and Srila Ishwarapuri, I want to share some background about Srila Ishwarapuri, because really in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is where we understand the intricacies and the detail a bit more clearly about guru-disciple relationship. Of all of his disciples, Srila Madhavendra Puri chose Srila Ishwarapuri to take care of him at the end of his life. Srila Madhavendra Puri was, as Srila Prabhupada describes, was completely immobile, incapacitated with disease in his final days and weeks. He was very unwell. He could not take care of himself at all. He could not. He was immobile. He couldn't go to the bathroom, couldn't dress himself, he couldn't feed himself. Srila Ishwarapuri very lovingly offered those services of clearing up his excrement, of feeding him, of dressing him, of bathing him. This type of intimate service can't be just done by anyone. It can't be done well just by anyone. It is not a matter of psychological and material maturity. That helps. It helps. But it's really not a matter of that. To do this service lovingly, that means without resentment, with full immersion, without consideration for oneself, and with full consideration for the spiritual master's needs, one needs to actually love the spiritual master. Srila Ishwarapuri didn't just take care of Madhavendra Puri's bodily needs. He also took care of his spiritual needs. He not just understood, but he reciprocated with both the human side of his spiritual master as well as the divine side. And as he would take care of him, he would chant. He would chant Krishna's name. When he wasn't physically taking care of him, he would read to him Krishna's pastimes. He would make sure that his spiritual master was fully able to connect and be taken care of both in his divine aspect as well as his human aspect. I feel this is a really significant aspect of guru-disciple relationship that we need to understand. Because as devotees, we want to serve the spiritual master so much, right? we consider, hang on, is my type of body or my ashram going to get in the way of service? What's the best service to offer? Will I get a look into personal service? How can I do it fencelessly? How can I do it with purity? The human side of the spiritual master can be difficult to deal with. Because when we are trying to consider the divine side of the spiritual master, we expect that the human side should behave very differently to everybody else. But the mind is the mind and the body is the body. They are going to do what they're going to do no matter how pure the individual becomes. Okay? The body is still made of pus, blood and stool. The body still deteriorates with time. The body still gets sick. The mind, as well as having a subtle side, also has a biological side. So even the mind of a pure devotee, even the mind of one of Lord Chaitanya's intimate associates, can still be the brain, because the brain can dysfunction. There can still be things that go wrong. We can, in our immaturity, mistake these human experiences of the spiritual master as a lack of divinity. Okay, and that gets in the way of our surrender. That gets in the way of our receptivity, doesn't it? But here Srila Ishwarapuri is showing that his spiritual master is a pure devotee, completely surrendered to Lord Krishna, completely surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, completely surrendered to whatever the Lord wants him to do. And yet his body and his brain, they deteriorate. So Srila Ishwarapuri is serving him with full love and full absorption, considering even that the material deterioration of the body is an opportunity. I mean, we complain about the human side, but actually we are privileged that that Guru Tattva manifests in a human form. Now, otherwise, where would the opportunity be for us to serve? If they came in perfect bodies with perfect brains and perfect minds, we'd have nothing to do. Then what? And if they came with perfect bodies and perfect minds, how would we relate to them? There would be no examples. We would feel a million miles away. So actually it's Guru's mercy. It's Guru's mercy that they get sick, that they come in bodies that can be limited by material nature, because then we get an opportunity to serve. Those wonderful souls who served Srila Prabhupada in his final days, all those wonderful devotees who served anyone in their final days, even if it's not your spiritual master, when you're looking after these pure devotees, these saintly souls, and you know, all devotees are saintly souls, even if they're not your spiritual master. It's a real opportunity to grow and develop in your spiritual life. If we can understand this simple fact, that we can learn to balance the human side of our relationship with the Guru along with the divine, then we won't have so many problems. We won't keep a distance when things get tough. We won't only chase after the superficial side of the spiritual master and engage in hero worship. Whoever you are taking shelter of, whoever he or she is, if you can develop a healthy relationship internally and externally, that is the secret of success in spiritual life, is the secret of success in spiritual life. And this is again shown by Srila Ishwarapuri, because for his loving service to Madhavendra Puri, for not judging him, for not criticizing him, for not minimizing him for his human needs, he gets given the greatest blessing. Now Ramachandra Puri is another disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Some of you may recall Ramachandra Puri's interactions with Lord Chaitanya, how he criticizes how much he eats and how much his associates eat. So Ramachandra Puri actually is Jatila, Radharani's mother-in-law. And so in Gaura Ganadesh Dipika describes how Lord Chaitanya actually tells Kavi Karnapurna that Ramachandra Puri is Jatila because he restricts me from eating. So Ramachandra Puri, he got the opposite. When he would hear, and this is because he mixed with Mayavadis. That's what explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that because he mixed with Mayavadis, his vision got poisoned. And so when he saw his spiritual master ill, and he would hear his spiritual master incoherently making, stringing together sentences that were expressing his ecstasy, his transcendental madness, not his material madness, he couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand it. So he would try and teach him, and he would criticize him via this teaching. And so he fell away, got attracted to material nature. Whereas Srila Ishvara Puri, Madhavendra Puri, directly said to him, he's so pleased with him. He said, may you attain Krishna Prem. Actually, he says, you will attain Krishna Prem. And from that day forth, Srila Ishvara Puri was completely immersed and saturated in love of God. Completely immersed. So much so that it could not be hidden. It could not be hidden. And this is how he encounters Lord Chaitanya for the first time. When he first comes across Lord Chaitanya, actually he goes in disguise. And it is Advaita Acharya who recognizes Srila Ishvara Puri. You know, he just comes, you know, in raggedy robes, disguised as a Shudra, as a person born of a low place in society. But pure devotees recognize each other, and devotional service cannot be hidden. And so Advaita Acharya recognizes him. And he asks, I believe Mukunda Dutt, to Sankirtan. He says, oh, Sankirtan. Sankirtan will make him dance. He will come out of his disguise. And so he comes out of his disguise, and he's revealed to everybody as Srila Ishvara Puri, the very special dear disciple of Madhavendra Puri, the storehouse of pure love of God. Conjugal love, actually makes conjugal love available so freely. And Srila Ishvara Puri first encounters Lord Chaitanya when he's a student still. And he's so attracted to him. He's so attracted to him. He even wonders, he says, who is this personality who attracts me? Just as much as the Supreme Personality of Godhead attracts me, he must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's a little bit like, you know, in Brahma Vimohan Leela, when Krishna replaces all the cowherd boys and all the calves, and their mothers and fathers are wondering how come their own children are just as attractive as they find Krishna. And they've wanted this, you know, they've wanted Krishna as their son so much. So he's feeling this transcendental attraction to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is a student, and he recognizes him immediately. And actually, when Srila Ishvara Puri encounters Lord Chaitanya, and what a great scholar he is, because when he's young, he hasn't yet manifested this unconditional conjugal love for the Lord. He's still behaving like a scholar, you know, and he has these little quirks. If you read Adi Leela, you read about the kind of personality Lord Chaitanya is when he's young, but he's also very attracted by Srila Ishvara Puri. And they have a wonderful exchange. And Srila Ishvara Puri, actually, he's written Krishna Leelamrita, and he asks Lord Chaitanya, you know, you're a scholar. Can you check this for some mistakes? So humble. And Lord Chaitanya says, no, everything you've written is perfect, because everything a devotee speaks is actually directly from Krishna. Everything they say is perfect. And so do not consider any mistakes made. They're negligible. They're not even to be considered. But he asks him, please make some. So out of humility, Lord Chaitanya also offers some service. And during that period, sometimes Srila Ishvara Puri would go to Lord Chaitanya's house and have prasadam there, and sometimes he would call Lord Chaitanya to his place. As Lord Chaitanya's pastimes progress and he wants to manifest who he actually is, he approaches Srila Ishvara Puri for initiation. Now, imagine this. Srila Ishvara Puri, the dearmost disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who is completely absorbed in pure love of God, who knows who Lord Chaitanya is approached by God himself saying, will you be my spiritual master? What would you say if God asked you to be his spiritual master? What would you say? You'd feel kind of like, no, hang on, aren't I going to go to hell for initiating you as my disciple? You're God. I don't want to do that, right? You're going to consider yourself. But he didn't. He said, I want to give you my very life. Of course, I'll give you an issue. I'll give you anything you ask for. This is the mood of the pure devotee. It reminds me of when Krishna's trying to get, I think it's Narad Muni, he's trying to get him to understand who his topmost devotee is. And he says, you know, go to all my different devotees, tell them I have a headache. And, you know, and when they ask you, well, of course, I want to help, what does Krishna need? You tell them I need the dust from their lotus feet, right? And so when he goes, he asks so many different devotees, and they all want to help. Yes, yes, my Lord has a headache. What can I do to help? The minute he asks for the dust from their lotus feet, no, I'm going to go to hell. If I give you the dust from my lotus feet, I will go to hell. So no, Hare Baba, I can't do that. Sorry. But when he goes to the gopis, dust from my lotus, sure, here you go. They don't care about going to hell. He says, aren't you worried about going to hell? We'll go to hell. We'll go anywhere. Krishna needs us to go as long as he's okay. Right, so Srila Ishwarapuri has this same pure, unconditional love with no consideration of himself. That's why he's in ecstasy all the time. And he says, yes, of course, I will initiate you. Of course, I will initiate you. Sorry, I'm trying to read my handwriting. So soon after taking initiation, you know, Lord Chaitanya, he continues his pastimes. And as he's continuing his pastimes, Srila Ishwarapuri leaves this world. When Srila Ishwarapuri leaves this world, he asks one of his disciples, Govinda, one of his two servants, Govinda, so now you go and serve Lord Chaitanya, go and serve your god brother. This happens in Antilila. This is described in Antilila. That when Lord Chaitanya encounters Govinda, when Govinda goes to see him, I believe Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And when Govinda arrives and makes himself known to Lord Chaitanya and what Srila Ishwarapuri, their spiritual master, wanted. So first of all, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I believe it's Sarvabhauma, please correct me if I'm wrong. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asks Lord Chaitanya, why is someone exalted like Srila Ishwarapuri initiating a Shudra like Govinda? Because Govinda was from a simple family, lower in social class. And lower and higher are always just material designations. Devotees, we don't care for these things. And Lord Chaitanya explains that Srila Ishwarapuri is the spiritual master of the whole world. Now we hear this about Srila Prabhupada as well, and we hear this about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and we hear this about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because these special souls who are so tightly bound and chased to Guru Tattva are the spiritual masters of the whole world, and we can have many spiritual masters of the whole world. So Lord Chaitanya explains to him, no, he is the spiritual master of the whole world, so he can take anyone and lift them to the highest platform. It doesn't matter what type of body they're in, what type of varna they have, what type of ashram they're in. So he glorifies his spiritual master, but then he's left in a conundrum. How am I supposed to accept my godbrother as my personal servant? This is what happens. So this conundrum, how do you think he resolves it? Well, actually, the advice he's given by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is, well, actually, everything is trumped by the spiritual master's instruction. So if it's your spiritual master's instruction to accept him, then you accept him. And so this is how he accepts Govinda into his intimate fold. By understanding more about the lives of the acharyas, by understanding more of the lives of even souls and saints who are here amongst us, when we get personal with each other, when we try to understand what's going on for each other, actually it gives us a real opportunity to understand and appreciate really how transcendental this process is. And how special all devotees are. Because actually, ultimately, all devotees are connected to Guru Tattva. And Guru Tattva can speak to us through anyone, right? So when we really, I mean, I actually find that really Shastra comes alive in our relationships with devotees. Because if we look at any devotee and we really start to try and understand their life, you will see the magic of Krishna consciousness, how it's transformed their life, and how their love for Krishna, their love for their spiritual master, has made them overcome obstacles that no psychiatrist, no doctor, no social worker, no welfare service, no magician, no yogi can get rid of for you. Krishna consciousness is so powerful because it is Golokir Prem Dan, imported from the spiritual world. So if you are feeling any challenge in your relationship with your gurus, your mentors, your shiksha gurus, your relationships, please remember that if we can balance this humanity with divinity, then we will really get to taste this fruit of devotional service from every single angle. You know, I know at the moment Jankinath Prabhu's family are in Mayapur preparing to scatter his ashes. And I know devotees are also going to go to Mayapur very shortly to scatter Sri Chaitanya Prabhu's ashes. Both Jankinath and Sri Chaitanya Prabhu had this wonderful quality of being able to balance humanity with divinity in themselves and in their relationships with others. Their relationships with devotees who were not really known to many, as well as those devotees who were known to everyone. And this requires being honest and authentic. Honest and authentic with ourselves. Honest and authentic with those who guide us, those who give us their love, those who instruct us. Because that honesty is what develops relationship. You know, everybody can see. Yeah, we're seen. People see things in us, and we see things in others all the time. And it's one thing to be seen. It's another thing to voluntarily reveal. And this is the power of prayer, isn't it? That when we pray, it's not that we're telling Krishna something new. He already knows. Right? He already knows everything we're praying for, everything we're praying about. In fact, he knows more than has been even revealed to us through our own mind. We only have access to 10% of our mind. The rest is kind of buried there, subconscious, unconscious. But when we reveal, that's when relationship starts. Okay? We're not just seen, but we reveal. So, same with guru-disciple relationship. Guru sees. There's no point in trying to lie or hide. Guru sees. But when we reveal, then relationship starts. I remember Guru Maharaj, towards the end, you know, he would always say, you know, a dying man has nothing to lose, so I'm not going to lie about anything, you know. And he would warn disciples. He would say, you know, I'm going into Nirjan Bhajan now, so only my caregivers will be around me and Radhanath Maharaj. And he said, if you come to the house for some service and you try to talk to me about anything other than Vrindavan, know that I'm not going to lie to you. And you may hear something you're not ready to hear. And he cut quite a few people down. You know, really chastised them. Nothing related. They were literally about to open their mouth. And he would say something, literally cut to the core of what they needed to work on. But one devotee came. And he openly spoke. And Gurudev said, thank you for revealing your mind to me. When will you reveal your heart? So these saints, these souls, they're available. They're ready to listen. If we can get over ourselves, reveal, rather than waiting to just be seen. I'm going to stop there. Srila Ishvara Puri Ki Jai. Any questions, comments, corrections, complaints? Please, I want to hear from all of you. So many wonderful devotees here. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are and what you have to say. We have a mic that can go around so everybody can hear. Hare Krishna, please.
Thank you for a wonderful class. You expressed the wonderful service of Ishvara Puri to his spiritual master. And it reminds me of what's happening now in ISKCON, where people are leaving their body, but also their disciples or their followers or whatever they're doing, they're serving them. And it's a reciprocation of also learning to receive. Receive the help of others which that for so long they had been guiding. So Prabhupada was a wonderful example. Your spiritual master was a wonderful example of this, where they had to experience learning how to receive the help of their disciples, their followers, or their friends. And it's a very important ingredient, is learning how to not only give, but to receive the service that we can see is experienced by great souls like Ishvarapuri, because serving him in his last days. And also, Madhavendrapuri let him serve him until his final days. He was receiving from his dear disciple. So it was a gift to the disciple as well, of showing how we must learn to receive as well in our helpless state. I thought this is quite evident now in this ISKCON. So that's just the comment. Okay.
That's such a wonderful comment. Thank you so much. Yes, actually learning to receive is humbling, right? Especially when we, for a long time, if you've been in roles where you're giving, then learning to receive can be actually really receive something you need, can be what you need to help you to become humble. Because even in giving, when you give and you receive, there can be an element of, well, I deserve this, there's an exchange, there's reciprocation. But to receive and accept when you feel like you can't give anything, what does Madhavendra Puri give him? Love of God. That, you know, this reminds me of, I remember asking Gurudev, you know, I thought, I really made use of that time. You had to ask him so many questions. I remember about asking him, you know, Gurudev, you know, when we're doing service, especially preaching services, devotees want to help. Resources come, devotees make themselves available. How do we not get puffed up? He looked at me, he smiled, he said, just remember that you're a nonsense. And I thought, I can't artificially remember I'm a nonsense. It's like he read my mind as I was thinking, oh, remember I'm a... I kind of made a face and he said, so, you know, think about it this way. He said, because if everything that comes to you, if you enjoy it, then it'll lead to fall down. If everything that comes to you, you develop humility and offer it back, then actually you'll progress in your Krishna consciousness. So thinking yourself as a nonsense helps you to stay humble. Now, he wasn't trying to teach me some psychological trick of self-deprecating or, you know, lowering my self-esteem. He actually explained. He said, think about it. If you were so wonderful, you wouldn't need all this help. I thought, oh yeah, that's actually really practical and actually real humility. Yeah. You know, and Prabhupada would say this to his disciples. My spiritual master has sent you to help me. You know, Prabhupada also teaches us that humility. But yes, in receiving, really receiving, there's a humility. Even Prem, even when we fly our plane alone, we fly with others, right? There's so many planes in the sky. And then there's also gurus and acharyas in the control tower guiding us. But ultimately, they're not just guiding us, they're petitioning on our behalf. And even when they're able to offer pure devotional service, just like Madhavendra Puri said to Srila Ishwarapuri, you will have Krishna Prem. May you have Krishna. Srila Ishwarapuri still had to accept it, still had to receive it. There has to be a willingness. Right? This verse where Krishna tells Arjuna, inquire submissively and render service. Inquiring submissively is not just about asking questions. Inquiring submissively starts with a willingness to hear. And a willingness to hear Guru's voice in everybody we interact with and every event that happens to us is inquiring submissively. It's there. It's that. This is seeing through the eyes of Shastra, seeing through the eyes of the spiritual master. But thank you so much for that wonderful point on receiving. Thank you, Prabhu. Krishna.
Just on the same point, thank you for the class. Janakinath was kind of a perfect example of what you're just speaking about, because he told us at the end that's my last fear, my very last fear. No, I'm not afraid of anything else to do with this condition, but that devotees have to serve me personally and look after my body. He said, that's my last fear. I don't want that to happen. And then it got to the point where he had to accept that service, and he said, Krishna's even taking this way, like he's making me surrender even to this, you know. And within a few days of accepting that service, he left the world. So it seems like that was his last surrender that he had to go through.
Krishna took away his last fear.
Yeah.
Right? Krishna does that. What we fear most, Krishna often sends. Two reasons. One is to show us that we can overcome it. And second is also, it wasn't so bad after all. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the nice class. Very insightful, nice hearing about Lord Chaitanya's devotion to Ishwarapuri. I had a question that you mentioned conjugal love a couple of times during the class, and you said that this is the goal. But I've heard that for some devotees it may not be the goal.
Mm.
They may have another rasa, which is their
yes.
destination. So could you clarify that?
Yeah. So, of course, we see this from acharyas. Acharyas are also of different rasas. They're not all conjugal love. They're not all manjaris. They're not all gopis and sakis. Some of them are cowherd boys. And some of them have vatsalya rasa. So, yeah, no, it's when I'm... I don't know which part I said, but I wasn't saying exclusively. What I was trying to express is that Madhavendra Puri and Lord Chaitanya have made it permissible and easily available to wake up conjugal love. But if your constitution is not conjugal love, then you will be completely satisfied. Actually, Prabhupada explains that it's only to our material vision that we see these different rasas as a hierarchy. He actually just says that they're variety of different ways of loving the Lord. And some may say that there's hierarchy because as you proceed with the mellows from Shanta to Dasya to Sakya to Vatsalya and Madhurya, conjugal love, as you get to Madhurya, Madhurya contains the other four mellows as well. And so that's why one may, with their material vision, view it as some sort of hierarchy. But actually, spiritually, each one of us, whatever our true relationship, constitutional relationship with Krishna is, we are fully satisfied. We're fully satisfied, fully ecstatic, and fully able to even experience the joy and ecstasy of other jivas who have a different ras, because there's no envy. If we look at our relationships even here, think about your least envious relationships, where you know there's little or no envy. When that person's happy, you probably feel just as much, if not more, happiness, right? But where there's envy, that person could be so close to you, and somehow or another, their happiness just brings you misery. So spiritual relationship means without envy. Without envy, anasuya, without envy. Aparadha means without Radharani, without devotion. That's offensive. Without devotion is offensive. So, yes, the goal isn't Madhurya Rasa. The goal is pure, unmotivated, unconditional, uninterrupted, favorable service to the Lord. That love can take many forms. And even if you look at Madhurya, Vatsalya, and Sakyam, there's many permutations and combinations and angles. Because Krishna has some friends who are older than him and some the same age and some younger. So, like this. Is that okay? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Do you want to give the mic here?
So, you know, when you were talking about Ramchandra Puri, so you mentioned that he associated with many Mayavadis. So one of my questions was, how did you kind of like break out of that association? And like, what was the pastime behind that? And also, how did it lead up to Madhavendra Puri becoming his guru?
So Ramachandra Puri was already a disciple of Madhavendra Puri.
Okay.
And then, so this is why we have to be careful with who we associate with. We've all got to know what our adhikar is in terms of giving our association and taking association, because there's always exchange. Even just sitting next to someone, there's exchange. Even if you exchange no words. Okay, because the subtle has a very powerful effect. So Ramachandra Puri was already Madhavendra Puri's disciple when he'd had some contact with Mayavadis. So when we are going to, Prabhupada describes Mayavadi philosophers even speaking about Krishna's pastimes as milk touched by a serpent, because it becomes poisonous. Okay, because the motive of the person who's telling us even a story, or even what happened in someone's life, even you think about it, right? How does gossip spread? Gossip is a critical, you know, a narrative of what's going on in someone's life, but with criticism, isn't it? That's what it is, isn't it? So when Mayavadis speak, even if they speak Krishna's pastimes, the narrative is accurate. But because there's no love, there's no bhakti there. Because the goal isn't to serve God, the goal is to become God. So this leads to a impersonalism. And devotional service and guru-disciple relationship is so personal. So this affects Ramachandra Puri's mind. It makes him critical. And the way he would express his criticism would be about criticizing how much people ate. And it says in CC that Ramachandra Puri would invite devotees and feed them and feed them and feed them, only to criticize them. Afterwards going, you eat a lot. Aren't you supposed to be controlled with your senses? Because the Mayavad philosophy is to be very austere, right? Be very controlled. So that's why when he sees his spiritual master, because he's got this mood of criticizing, he can't recognize when his spiritual master is in and out of transcendental madness. And it can be hard to tell, because if you read the verses in CC which describe ecstatic symptoms, to be honest, it looks very similar to psychosis. I remember asking Shivram Maharaj this question. We had for School of Bhakti back in September, we did like a dialogue, an interview on mental health and Krishna consciousness. And I asked him, I read the verse from CC which describes the ecstatic symptoms of a devotee, described what Lord Chaitanya is experiencing. I said to him, this just sounds just like mental illness. This sounds like psychosis. You know, I'm waiting for the day when somebody asks me to see a Vaishnav because they're worried they're mentally ill, and I say, no, they're in ecstasy, they're not mentally ill. I'm hoping one day I get that privilege. And he said, well, you know, he said, chant Hare Krishna. He said, because if they're psychotic, they'll need tranquilizers and medication to snap them out of it. He said, if they are in ecstasy, actually you sing a nice kirtan and they'll come here because of the kirtan, they'll come back. So he couldn't recognize this. You know, I remember when Gurudev was also leaving, he would talk about this transcendental madness. He very clearly said it. We would often have conversations when the mind was going through various challenges. Because, you know, Maharaj, you know, Gurudev prolonged his departure process to be available for devotees. He stayed longer than he needed to make himself available for devotees. And sometimes what he would experience in the heart wasn't coherent. And as we would have these conversations to navigate through what was going on in the body and the mind, I remember one time he stopped me and he said, you know, all of this knowledge you have about the mind and the body, it's good. Very good. But at the end of the day, you have to throw it all out the window, because beyond this, there's a transcendental madness. And so when Ramachandra Puri would see this transcendental madness in Madhavendra Puri, he didn't recognize it. So he would feel like he has to counsel him and guide him and criticize him. And so for this reason, because of offenses to the spiritual master, he became attracted to material nature again, the details of which I don't know. Okay. That's both your questions? Okay. And we have about 2-3 minutes, maybe one more question, Pulkit.
Haribol, thank you so much for your class. You spoke about understanding the human side and spiritual side and of our gurus, and then how that also, that guru tattva extends to devotees around us as well. But I feel like it's important, before learning how to deal with it, it's important to be aware of how to identify these two things. And I know it's not black and white to identify something that's humans and something that's a spiritual side. But yeah, how does one begin to do that?
Relationship all comes down to relationship. The different permutations and combinations of how the human side of a person develops. You get to know by spending time with them, by serving them. When we offer service, first with a willingness to hear, that leads to affection. Actually, first there's some attraction, then that leads to some affection. And we hear more, and we serve more, we inquire more. Then we develop attachment, and then we develop love. So how do we begin to do that? Inquiry. Inquiry, whether that is the person who sits next to you in class every day, or whether it's your Diksha Guru that you're aspiring for or you're initiated by. Relationship is important, really important. Because how do you know whether what's manifesting is because of disease, because the person can't control it? Okay? You don't know. Right? Madhavendra Puri, a personality who had full control of his senses, he fulfilled all the criteria of a spiritual master. Right, controlling the tongue, belly, genitals, the urge to speak, the urge to get the urges of the mind, the urges of anger. He's qualified to make disciples all over the world. He had pure love for Krishna. And yet at the end of his life, he couldn't even control his body. He couldn't even control the ability to evacuate. If Srila Ishwarapuri didn't have faith, he didn't have love, he didn't have understanding, there's nothing to compare it to. So when I see patients, it's actually even more important that I know what they're like in good health than when they're diseased. Because then I can very quickly tell when illness is creeping up. So actually I always say to them, come and see me even when you're healthy. Because when I know them when they're healthy, very quickly, oh, okay, hang on, that's a relapse sign. I think you're becoming unwell. Really, I don't feel unwell. Don't wait till you feel unwell, you're ill. You're getting ill already. Take medicine now. Right? So, and read. Read, hear, serve, interact with devotees. Sometimes we go one way or the other. Either we spend loads and loads of time with devotees and we rely on hearing from others what Shastra says. And so much of that gets caught up in personality and personal interaction. Or people go the other way and they just read, spend time with books, hear separately and don't cultivate any personal relationships. So then their mind can delude them and give them some framework that isn't real. It just supports, uses Shastra to support whatever it is they want to do. So we need a balance, external and internal. Is that okay? I think we have to stop there. 9:01. Thank you so much. Srila Ishwarapuri ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna.